The book was better.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Book Was Better podcast. My name is Kaylee Clark.
I'm Taylor Collette.
We are both a little sleep deprived. But that's okay, because that's just life these days.
Yeah.
It's never ending.
Sleep deprived, but excited nonetheless to get into today's episode, because I think this is going to be one of our most unique episodes.
In the sense of we don't see many book to movie adaptations that are done this well.
Yeah, like in the fact that it's going to be a short episode, because there's not a lot to talk about, really.
Yeah, I hadn't read this book in a long time. Like, this was a book I think I first read in middle school.
I don't know if I ever read the book. I remember the movie, but I really don't remember the book. But also, they're so similar, maybe I did, and I just only remember the movie.
I might have even read it before middle school. I might have read it at, like, late elementary school.
It's definitely for young audiences, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But I remember really liking it, and my friends all really liked it too. And it was, you know, my early book club ways, where my friends and I, even in like the fourth grade and fifth grade, would read the same books and then talk about it. So I remember this being one of those that we talked about liking so much. The movie came out much later, and I didn't watch the movie right away. I then watched the movie like a couple years after it came out, but I didn't reread the book first. Mm-hmm. But I remember being like, oh, what a great adaptation. But like, I never really compared them like this time around.
Yeah.
So interesting how it holds up. Do we have any announcements or other stuff you want to talk about before we get into it?
I don't think so. I think that we can just dive right in.
Okay.
If you want to stay up to date with any announcements we might have, follow us on Instagram or Facebook at TBWD Podcast. Because
it's really the only places we do things.
I occasionally will post stuff on Pinterest, but I feel like that's not really the place to post updates. Mm-hmm. So
no, it's more of a vibes kind of site.
Yeah. But if you want to see updates, participate, you know, get involved in the conversation, definitely head on over to Instagram or Facebook. And I guess the other thing is we finally hit 200 followers on Spotify, which is very exciting. So if you have followed us,
we were at 199 for such a long time.
So long. It was just haunting us. So if you happen to follow us on Spotify and also on other platforms, but this was a milestone for Spotify, thank you so much. We appreciate it. If you're not following us, please do.
And you're listening on Spotify.
Yes.
Then consider it. Thank you very much.
Or on other platforms. You can follow us on Apple. We like you guys too.
Is that a thing on Apple? I don't listen to my podcasts on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, you can like favorite them, or I don't know if it's called following.
Oh, I guess I have. No, what is it? Shows. Yeah, it's just like your saved shows.
You like save it. Yeah. And so thank you very much. If you're watching this on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. Those things.
We are doing that now. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yep.
We also apologize that this episode's coming out late.
Not daylight savings.
Daylight savings is just the worst. So we're not on the same time zone anymore because of it. Because Taylor's in Arizona, where they don't do daylight savings.
Arizona's a magical land where daylight savings doesn't happen.
Yes, honestly, we all need to get with the times and follow Arizona's example. But
Arizona and Hawaii, the best. I haven't dealt with daylight savings in years. When we move, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it's rough, especially because it's amazing what just an hour time difference will do to us trying to figure out schedules now that we both have small children.
Yeah, who have bedtimes.
Like bedtimes were a nightmare.
Yeah.
I think we're finally getting to a point like where our kids, they're not fighting it as much, and we can put them to bed and they'll fall asleep relatively quickly.
But relatively?
Last week it was literally so many nights in a row where it was like 2 hours, like bedtime took 2 hours. Like they would not go to sleep. They would not stay in bed. So
yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, this episode's late, but that's fine because it's still happening. And that's what matters.
That's what matters. We are consistent in that we will get it done, not consistent on when they come out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we are consistent in our inconsistency.
Well, that too. Yeah. Yeah, that too.
But I guess, yeah, let's get into Flipped. So Flipped was published in 2001. I have never had to say the author's name out loud, but I believe it's Wendelin Van Dranen.
Sure.
But there's a double A in that last name that makes me question whether I'm saying that correctly or not. But
Dranen. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Super fun story and a super easy read. It's only, at least like the soft bound, like paper copy is only 212 pages.
Yeah, it was quick because it's written for a young audience. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're having to work super hard to understand it. So you can whip through it in a pretty quick reading session, honestly. It's hard because I was interrupted so many times. So it took me many days. But I think if I didn't have a baby, I could have knocked it out in a few hours.
Yeah. Well, and something that is unique about the book, not extremely unique maybe anymore, but I remember when I first read it, it was like the first I'd ever seen where it was like a flipping. I mean, it's called Flipped because it's flipping perspectives. So the entire story is you're getting it from both of the it's like a young romance.
It's a young love story.
Mm-hmm. And so it kind of flips between the perspectives of Julie and Bryce, those main protagonists. So the movie came out in 2010.
So yeah, nine years.
Yes, 2010.
But to be fair, I feel like back then it was less common to get book to movie adaptations quickly. I feel like now a book will come out and like a year later it's getting a movie deal, and it's
yeah,
like
if it was fast. Like roaring success, then yeah, they get movie deals pretty quick now.
Yeah,
but they did not before.
Yeah,
but 9 years isn't bad for it to get a movie. Mm-mm. It was directed by Rob Reiner.
Good job.
And Rob. Yeah, and what I think is interesting about Rob Reiner is he plays Jessica Day's dad in New Girl.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
That's yeah, so
funny.
So he
was the director of Flipped, and he also helped with the screenplay along with Andrew Scheinman.
That's so funny. It like took me a second to remember what he looked like. And now I'm seeing him and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see that guy being a director. Like, he gives that vibe for sure.
Isn't that just kind of funny, though? Like,
yeah.
OK.
I also love.
So that's my little fun tidbit about that.
I loved it. In the video, you could see Derek just hoist a cat out of the room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the fun background secrets that you get from watching the YouTube video. So, yeah, that was the director and the screenplay writers. The music was done by Mark Shaman. And casting was done. Oh, this is not. Here it is. I'm like, they changed the order of things. Janet Hershenson and Jane Jenkins.
Wow, a lot of J's. Did
casting. No, a lot of J's. But casting, I think, was phenomenal. It was
super
well.
Good, especially considering it's a lot of young actors. Because
and young enough that they have to actually be children actors. Like, you cannot cast a 20-year-old to play a 13-year-old.
No. Well, and that's especially they meet works. When they're like, what, like 7 or 8?
6.
6? Are they 6 there?
I'm pretty sure they're 6.
I thought they were in the second grade, though.
I thought they were younger when they moved in.
In the book, it says second grade. The book says second grade. I can't remember with the movie. Anyways,
No, that sounds right, because it ends in the book ends with them being in 8th grade, right?
Sure.
So, and I think it spans like 6 years.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, they're young, and then it has like a time skip. So it's 2 young actors and then 2 more young actors. So they had to really, and they had to cast ones that looked similar. So it was believable. It was the same person, which I thought they nailed, honestly. I was like, oh yeah, honestly, they could definitely be the same person.
Yeah.
So
really fun story, really cute. So yeah, it's basically the story of Flipped, if you are not familiar, and are still listening to this for some reason, is like a young teen, preteen romance kind of story.
First love.
That follows 2 protagonists. Yeah, first love, puppy love kind of story. So it's Julie Baker and Bryce, don't remember his last name. And Julie Baker just like rolls off the tongue.
Well, and they say Julie Baker a lot and like talk about the Bakers a lot. His name,
so
it's going to bug me. Hold on. You keep going. I'll look it up.
I don't know. But they live like across the street from each other. So they're like neighbors. And I believe Bryce's family moves in.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
Bryce's family moves in across the street from the Bakers.
And it's, again, Lowski. It's fun because it's the Lowski.
No wonder Bryce it's hard to remember.
Interesting. So the perspectives flip back and forth, but it's kind of like a fun title because the feelings also flip. So in the beginning, Julie just has this huge crush on Bryce and thinks he's so cool and all this stuff. But you kind of find out that, at least in the beginning, Bryce is kind of a superficial, kind of shallow kid.
Kind of a jerk sometimes.
A little bit of a jerk. And as they get older, Julie starts to see that and kind of stops having those feelings. While Bryce, as he grows and learns, he kind of realizes that Julie is super authentic, like always herself, really kind, really smart, like she's a great
creative
person. Smart, creative, pretty, like she's got it all. And he starts to have feelings for her kind of as she's going, you're not that great.
Which, can I just say, because I paid attention to this, that it's just about at the halfway point in the book that it flips. Mm-hmm. And I was like, was that intentional? Because that's pretty clever.
Probably. Yeah.
So.
Very good writing. Very good. And so then it kind of flips and again, like the feelings flip and Bryce is like, okay, how do I get her
to like me again?
And he kind of goes through a bunch of growth to become a better person. And it's real cute and it has a happy ending and it's fun and it's cute. And you should read it if you haven't.
It's very sweet.
But
it's just sweet, innocent, young love and just fun.
But because it's such a short book and there really aren't that many differences to talk about, like a lot of, so we've kind of found a little bit of a pattern here with books written for a younger audience. When they're adapted into movies, there tends to be a little bit less to talk about. So we're not
That's not doing... always the case, though. See.
No, but like children's books. Like, let's you know, think back to some of the other children's books we've done. Like, we didn't... Matilda, I think, was the only one that we still did 3 grievances each for.
Technically, the first Harry Potter is like the same age range as this book. Same with Percy Jackson.
The first Harry Potter and the first Percy Jackson are both much longer. Yeah. Like at least 100 pages longer.
But I'm just saying they are technically for children.
Yeah, but I guess I'm thinking like, and now it just left me, but it was The Witches. We didn't do three grievances each for that one. Mm-hmm. I think we've done another Roald Dahl. Charlie Chocolate Factory. I don't think we did three grievances each for that one. Did we do that one? Polar Express. We didn't do grievances.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Have we not done Charlie?
I don't think so.
Imagining an entire episode?
Either you're imagining it or I've repressed it for some reason.
Or you have blocked it from your memory.
I don't remember.
Now I have to look it up.
I don't think we've done Charlie.
I have a memory of doing that.
Is it? Oh, no.
Did we not? Okay. Am I thinking of it? I might have completely created a memory in my head. That's fine. I just know that a lot of children, younger audience books, they typically have less to talk about.
They have less plot points, and so it's easier to hit them all and make a good movie off of them. Yes, I will agree with that.
Chocolate. Charlie Chocolate. Where are Charlie Chocolate? Our list of books is so long. Yes, we talked about it on January 18th of last year. I'm not crazy.
I know why. I totally forgot. That is right when I found out I was pregnant. So I don't think my brain was even cognizant of what was going on.
Okay. Well, I'm not crazy.
Okay. Yep. So. Yep. Anyways, sorry. Digress there.
But anyway, moving on. All that is to say, we're not doing grievances. We're just going to kind of discuss because at least to me, really only two, two differences were really all that stood out to me anyway. Mm. So
I have like three or four tiny things that like wouldn't even be worthy of their own point.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think some of them kind of feed into like the stuff you're thinking about. So we'll see. We're just going to have a more open discussion this episode, essentially.
Yeah.
And
I'm getting my, I'm kind
probably
of
won't be very long,
here.
But.
Do you want to start with maybe some of those smaller things?
Yeah. So a lot of the things that I noticed and made note of while I was reading, I like highlight and make notes of stuff, was slight character differences that weren't big enough to like change a whole part of the story and it was only at like certain parts that it was like a little bit different. A lot with Bryce's parents, I think that they really like tried to divide them a little bit more harshly. So the dad was like really the bad one and the mom was nicer and a little bit more open and accepting throughout the whole thing. Because in the book, there were a few times where the mom would say something that I was like, they gave that line to the dad in the movie. So I was like, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Or the dad would say something and they gave that line to like the grandpa or something. Or it was the grandpa who said it and they gave it to the dad. Like anything that was like a not nice thing to say, they essentially just gave it to the dad.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it makes you really...
Whose parent was Bryce's grandpa? Was it his mom's dad or his dad's dad?
It was his mom's dad.
Okay, so then that checks out a little bit. Yeah. His grandpa's awesome.
Yes. So
his grandpa's great.
I mean, they really make you dislike the dad in the movie.
But I didn't like the dad.
But you don't
much
like
in
him
either.
In the book really either. Yeah. He's just a bit more like complex, but I understand with the movie simplifying it just a little bit, especially with the audience that it's aimed at, just kind of drawing it back and being like, look, the dad kind of sucks. Like, let's just lay it out for you.
We're going to make it real clear here where Bryce's less desirable traits are coming from.
Yeah. And I understand not giving those lines to the grandpa because...
they want him to be the redeeming factor.
They want you to really like him, which is you do. He's great. Love the grandpa. And then there was also stuff with like his sister was a little bit different, But I am kind of glad that they made those changes. Like in the book, it's a lot more she like has an eating disorder. Which I understand at the time, 2001, like that was huge. That was a really big thing for teenage girls. And so I do understand. But the problem is, I feel like they don't really address it.
How do you cover the complexity of that in a movie?
Well, and in the book, they don't really address it. It's like prevalent that it's there, but they never really tackle it because she's a side character and they don't really dive into it. And so I understand just eliminating that completely because it's like we don't want to tackle that as well as what we're already tackling. So that was another change to character. And then with Julie and Bryce, there was like really little things, but overall I felt like their core characteristics were kept the same.
Oh yeah.
There was just like, with Julie, I wish we could have gotten a bit more of her reasoning for the way that she acts when she's young. I feel like in the movie, it's just kind of like, yeah, she was kind of weird. And then it's like, that's kind of it, which is fine. Because then when she's older, she's
not. Some kids are just kind of weird.
Okay? And that's, yeah. But in the book,
some of us have ADHD.
But in the book, you see her thought process on why she's doing those things. Where it's like when she goes to the truck and she sees Bryce and she's like, oh, man, he looks like he should be working and his dad's probably going to get mad at him. So I'll help him. And like, that's, oh, let me do this. Oh, good. He got sent inside. Maybe I can catch him so we can play a little bit before he gets trapped inside. Like, she thinks she's doing good and helping. And yeah. And I just didn't think that they really explained that as well in the movie. And that's just one example. There was a few examples in like those first few chapters where I was like, I feel like we're not fully seeing Julie's like reasoning behind thoughts. Her doing those things.
I don't know. I feel like you still get
really nitpicky here to find something to talk about because it's really, really well done adaptation. So that's probably the only things that I would say. As far as character changes, those were the ones that stuck out to me.
But none of it was really big enough to really bother me at all.
Oh, so. No.
But they're going to be there. It is still how do we put something on screen that was only written? Like there's always going to be some changes and little sacrifices.
Yeah.
I really like the big thing to me that I was like, well, that's different. Why? Like what? That was a weird choice, but honestly it didn't really impact the movie negatively, but the time period is changed.
Yes.
Because the book, and I think it's one of the reasons why I like it resonated so well with me is because the book is written from like 1994. Like the time period, like the 6-year time gap is from like 1994 to 2000.
Yeah, it's like pretty modern.
It's like my childhood. Like, okay, cool. And yet the movie puts it in like the 60s?
Yes.
I think it's the 60s. I don't think it's into the 70s. I don't think it's as early as the 50s. I think it's the 60s. But I'm like, I was just kind of like, why?
The only reasoning I can think of is that it shines a slightly better light on the dad in the fact that back then that would have been very normal, very accepted. The like more traditional, just like
the biases,
like he's biased and classist and all of that. And then also like he's the man of the house and she's the woman of the house and she's like cooking and cleaning all the time and he's working and comes home and watches TV and blah, blah, blah. Like
that traditional housewife.
I can understand mentality. That it's like rather than changing those and modernizing them, we'll just set the movie back in a time when that was very acceptable.
But I still, that still doesn't fully click with me just because.
And I mean, that could be totally wrong.
Even in the 90s, I would still say, like, think about how much things have changed in just the last 30 years.
But I think in 2010, it would have maybe come off better. Like, kind of like not to wanting make, to guess, address
when it comes to
the elephant in the room,
not wanting to offend people, I guess. Yeah. Making it seem a little bit further away and untouchable. Yeah. Again, it didn't really alter the story. The story still was essentially the exact same and was still really fun to watch and really cute and clever and things. I just thought it was interesting that they completely changed what time period it was in.
It was a little confusing when I went from one to the other and I was like, wait, what? What time period is it? Different vibes. So, different vibes for sure.
Yes. But so that, but that was a big difference. The other big thing for me was just the ending. So in the movie, and it's still very cute. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It's still very cute. But in the movie, it just seems kind of like really easy. Where Bryce is like, oh, I'll just dig this little hole and plant this little tree. And I am now a good person and I have fixed everything.
That's all it takes.
And that's all it takes. Whereas in the book, he does have to put forth a little bit more effort.
Yeah.
And he does have to do more to win back.
Prove that he's actually changed.
Yeah. And win back that. Why can I not think of words tonight?
Trust.
Just the
belief.
The trust and affection.
Oh, okay.
Of Julie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still really cute. And
I understand.
Again, I'm just glad they included still like the stuff with the tree. So
I understand in the movie, like, you know, in the 2 hours, not even, I think it was like an hour and a half.
Yeah, you got a time frame. It's targeted towards a younger audience. You got to think of attention span.
Yeah, I understand being like, look, we get that he becomes a better person. We'll signify that with this tree thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we will not show every single step that he did to get there.
Yeah. And so that's, but that's like really it.
Yeah.
When it comes to different, like the glaring differences.
I mean, the only thing that I will say, the other one that stuck out to me was with the eggs and the whole egg incident. In the movie, it seems like it's only like a few months that he's throwing away these eggs. And maybe I'm misremembering it, but I feel like in the movie, it's not very long.
They don't really specify, but I get, yeah, it, you don't know necessarily what the timeline is, but yeah, I would maybe peg it at like 6 months or something.
Yeah. In the book, it's 2 years that he has been throwing away these eggs. That is
perfectly good eggs.
So much more significant.
Yeah.
Well, like eggs.
Perfectly good eggs.
That she could have been selling.
She could have been selling. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And it's, it definitely paints Bryce in a slightly worse light where I was like, oh, my goodness, you stinky little child. So I can understand for wanting to keep the character more likable, toning that down a little bit. And then,
and also ease of how do you show?
Yeah,
right?
2 years.
Because in a
worth.
Movie, you don't want to tell as much as show. How would you show that progression of over 2 years? Like it would be hard.
It's a long time.
When and they're already kind of jumping through a lot of times.
Yeah. And then this one I understand, and I'm not mad that they got rid of. They don't show her dog dying.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'm okay. I didn't need more dog death in a movie. Like I'm okay with that.
We got enough of that in our childhood, okay? Don't even get me started.
Yeah. So
because of Winn-Dixie.
Okay. So, but in the book, it's her dog dies, then she finds out about the eggs, like, right after. So she is extra just real bummed out about it. Like, the sycamore tree gets cut down, her dog dies, she finds out about the eggs. It's like, boom, boom, boom.
And she's just like, I'm over you, man. You are the worst.
Yeah. She's like, this was the final straw. I am done. So that was the only other thing that I made note of.
But I made note of a lot of positives. Mm-hmm. And the biggest one being they used voiceover in a way that worked.
That was my number one positive thing. I was like, this is the best first person view to movie, like, use of that.
And ever. It was more than one perspective, right? Mm-hmm. It's a dual perspective. You're getting first person inner thoughts and monologue from two people. And it was easy to follow. It made sense. It didn't seem like it was out of place.
And it didn't feel monologue-y. It wasn't
distracting or jarring. Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I think that the format of the story, which comes across very much as reminiscent, as like literally telling a story to someone. Like it comes across as not, I'm like, this is what's happening at this point. Because I feel like there are some that don't feel as much like I'm telling a story about this. Like the Hunger Games, I feel like it doesn't come across quite the same. Where that one's like a lot of intricate detail and a lot of this one, it's almost like glossing over a lot of the more intricate details.
Because it doesn't, it feels and comes across as this is from memory. I'm telling you a story that happened a while ago from memory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas, yeah, the feel of like the Hunger Games or even Twilight.
Yeah.
Is very, I'm telling you this as it's happening.
Like, it's like I'm writing it down every single day and then compiling it. Like, it's very detailed. It's very like more a journal than a story almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's like an oral story written down.
So I do think that
the vibes of Beowulf and Homer's Odyssey.
I think that lent itself very well to it being adapted in that way, which I'm glad that they did. I think it came across really well. It was fun. It did feel like I was like looking at a story of how two people met and fell in love. And it was just cute.
Like childhood sweethearts kind of thing. And again, I think the casting was done phenomenally well, where the not just the looks of the characters, but how the characters were portrayed was very spot on to how I pictured things in my head when I read the book.
Well, and their emotions felt genuine. None of it felt super forced or like put on for show, like kind of like that awkward sometimes with child actors. It's like, oh, you're trying, like, good job, good on you.
Well, seriously, just so impressed with the child actors because it didn't come across as forced or like uncomfortable, right? Where you can see that in some other child actors. And I think I was looking at it earlier. I'm going to pull it back up. So, yeah, the actress who played Julie Baker was born in 1996.
Okay.
Which means when the movie was released in 2010, she would have been 14.
So, yeah, right about on the age.
And so she would have been filming 13, 14. And Callan McAuliffe, saying that wrong, who played Bryce, he was born in 1995. So he would have been 14, 15. Like, again, age-appropriate actors were cast. And they did a really great job. It's not impossible to cast age-appropriate actors. It's probably a little bit more difficult to set a filming schedule around because of child labor laws. But those are important also.
But when it's a movie, I feel like it's a lot easier than like a TV show where it's like a lot of episodes and a lot of like consistent filming. Like with a movie, there's less of a deadline.
Maybe that's more flexibility.
Stretch it out, make sure you can schedule them in when you need to.
Yeah, but just they did a great job. So calling them out. Mm-hmm.
But honestly, all the actors did. The grandpa, of course. I know that actor. I'm blanking on his name. He's done a lot of stuff, though. But he did a great job.
Who? Sorry, which one are you talking about? The grandpa. I think that's John Mahoney.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He's just a great actor.
He's in Frasier.
Yeah, that's what he's in.
Yeah.
I was blanking.
So, well, that's the biggest thing. He has done a lot of things, but I think the big one
is that Frasier, yeah.
For
is yeah, he, for sure.
He's Mr. Crane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but both sets of parents, the siblings did really well. I loved that we got to see the brothers singing and that they kept that musicality in there because it talks about it in the book, but obviously you can't hear the music or anything. And that scene of them singing at the table,
it adds to the vibes,
was
for
so
sure.
Cute. I was like, oh. And they got great singers. They're very talented. Perfect for that 60s sound.
No, true. By changing the time, you did get to appreciate and enjoy that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly don't really have anything else. It's just, it's super enjoyable.
It's really fun. Again, if you haven't seen it, definitely watch the movie. Honestly, read the book, though. It's a quick read, but I understand if you're not a book reader, definitely at least watch the movie. If you have kids, great one to watch as a family. Mm-hmm.
And it's got good life lessons.
It has really good morals in it. Obviously, it was made in 2010. And there's...
And set in the 60s.
And set in the 60s. So there's a little bit of, like, you know, there's
but
some...
But still, overall...
There's some ways it could have been dealt with maybe better, especially around having the...
The disabled brother.
The disabled brother. Like, obviously, we don't say...
Use the R word anymore.
We don't say that anymore. And I don't believe that the actor that they cast to play the brother is actually...
Like, mentally handicapped or anything? I don't think so. I don't know.
Because I feel like I recognize that actor from other stuff.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Yeah. And I
felt like they did it in a pretty tasteful way, though.
I think it was slightly reductive, just a little bit. But again, for 2010, I think that it was very
It was
well
a
done.
Bit exaggerated, right? Yeah, it was.
Like, it's hard to show something that is so nuanced.
It's hard when you don't cast someone with the actual life experience.
Yeah. So compared to a lot of other portrayals in media that I've seen from around that time, I think this is one of the best ones for sure.
I could tell the intentions were good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, Where
there have been other movies with supposed good intentions where you watch it. Or in my case, like I'm thinking specifically, I remember Sia. I can't even remember what the movie is called now. But she, you know, in her words, it was, well, my intentions were to bring awareness to autism and the issues surrounding autism. But I never watched the whole movie because
I only ever saw clips.
Autistic friends who said, don't support that movie. And I was like, I hear you.
On it.
I only ever saw clips. And the clips were
not
awful.
Good.
And I was like, the feelings you get watching it, the intentions don't come across at all. Whereas I feel like in this movie, I felt like the intentions were clear to try and send a message of don't be judgmental of people just because they have disabilities or may think differently than you or look different than you. Right. Like,
yeah,
I still got the positive message, even if the acting was a bit exaggerated or reductive. Mm-hmm. So
that would be the only...
Still not perfect. Thing. Always room for improvement when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then there's obviously the lesson of, like, look, you know, don't judge a book by its cover in negative and positive ways. Like, with Julie, you know, he judged her from the get-go and was like, no, you're weird. And then he realized, oh, no, there's more than meets the eye. And with Bryce, she fell in love with his good looks and then realized there wasn't much going on underneath.
Yeah, or just judging from the appearance of people's houses, right? And again, with Bryce's family, from the outside, they would look like the picture-perfect American dream, traditional
Especially
household.
In the book, they like really emphasize like the nice stuff that they have and like name brands and that kind of stuff.
But when you look at the relationships there, not super healthy.
Yeah.
Don't think Bryce's mom is all that happy in that relationship. Like, yeah. Could always be worse, could always be better, yeah. Right?
Just and then the Bakers have this, you know, they're stuck renting. Woo, shout out. I know what that's like.
That's very relevant to millennials these days.
Yeah. And like this idea
will
of them
ever own a house?
Struggling financially, but when you look at the core of their family, they're like so close and deep knit and like loving, caring, kind people. So mm-hmm. Yeah, really good message overall throughout the whole thing. I thought that it was really well done.
Yeah, so would recommend if you haven't seen it. It's a fun, cute one, and the book is great too. Mm-hmm. So this movie and book were so close that we don't have a single fan faux pas to share.
No, so, which I'm not surprised by. I don't think anyone really
got much. Like a comment when we shared like our coming next, like shared multiple things that we were doing. We got like a comment that was like, oh, Flipped is great. Like super close adaptation.
Great adaptation. And I'm like, yeah, you were right.
But that was about it. And I think that sums up that, yeah, it is such a great adaptation that there's no real grievances or complaints, I'd say, most people have.
No.
So we can ask our age-old question, though, of was the book better?
No. No.
I'm going to say no. I also don't think the movie was better.
No.
I think this is one of those instances where it's equal.
They're so on the same foot because they're so similar. I guess the only mm-hmm. reason I would say I like the movie is because it's just easier to consume. Like, I would rewatch the movie. I don't know if
good I'll audiobooks exist.
I don't know if I'll reread the book.
Yeah, I've reread it multiple. I think this was my third time reading it. So
maybe like with my kids, I could see myself reading it to be like, hey, this has good messages in it. Like, let's read this and let's talk about this. I can understand that. Mm-hmm. But definitely I would put on the movie for my kids. Like, if, because I don't know, obviously he's not at a reading age yet. If he does have dyslexia like his dad, maybe we will watch the movie. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Or audiobooks.
Even audiobooks.
Having dyslexia does not mean you cannot enjoy books. You can find ways.
Brenton has a hard time even with audiobooks.
Well, but it's an option.
It is an option, but no.
And you can change the playback speed. So.
That's true.
That's a thing too.
It's a nice option.
My husband thinks I listen to them way too fast.
Yeah,
great. You can also slow it back down. So.
You don't have to listen at 2 times the speed. You just can.
You just can. Or 2.5 sometimes, depending on how slow the audiobook reader is. So
yeah, it does depend on the narrator.
But that's our thoughts.
Yep, that's
those
it.
Those are our thoughts. That's correct English. Those are our thoughts.
That's all, folks.
Yes. Let us know if you disagree with anything that we said, but.
Or yeah, like, were there any glaring grievances that we like somehow totally missed?
Did we miss something? But let us know. But yeah, that basically wraps this episode up.
Yeah. A nice short, sweet one, which is good because we had a lot of long ones recently. So this is a nice.
Yes, that is true.
Change of pace.
Which is partially why I was like, hey, we should do Flipped. We should do something.
We need a nice, easy one.
Simple. And because we're gearing up to do the
Ballad
Songbirds
of Songbirds
and Snakes
and
one.
Snakes.
Yep. Which
the Hunger Games prequel mm-hmm. came out just
doing
last
that
year.
We ship it.
Pretty recent. So excited to watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
End of last year, right?
Yeah.
Like end of 2023.
Yeah.
So, oof, can you believe it's already like almost April though of 2024?
No.
Like
no.
What is time?
I don't know.
It's makes no sense to me. But
yeah,
but yes. Yeah, we're excited to do that. We did like a review on it when it first came out.
Yeah, we did a mini-sode on the book. So
we did a mini-sode on it.
If you want to go listen to that, hear our initial thoughts about it.
I don't remember which mini-sode it is. Let me see if I can find it. I know we have a spreadsheet for everything. Minisodes. So we did on March 10th of 2021.
So it's been a few years.
But it got adapted into a movie pretty quickly.
Though, maybe to be fair, that was a Hunger Games
I was like, that probably contributed to that a little bit. But yeah, it got adapted pretty quick. But we weren't sure it would become a movie. Mm-mm. After we read it. So we thought like, hey, in case we never have a chance to talk about this, we can at least do a book review.
Yep. And jokes on us. So
yeah.
Here we are again.
We did that. It was one of our mini-sodes when we were covering the Hunger Games series. Mm-hmm. So it's literally our second mini-sode ever.
Ooh.
Mini-sode 2. We review Suzanne Collins, The Ballad of Songbirds of Snakes. And it's a spoiler-free review.
Yeah.
Like, it's a spoiler-free episode review thing. But, yeah. Mini-sode number 2, if you want to get any, like, preliminary thoughts of ours
on The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And maybe see if they totally change in the episode. We'll see. It's been a few years.
Honestly.
I could feel totally different about them.
It's been 3. It's been 3 years.
A few is 3. That is the
equivalent. Is
3.
You're right. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Good job. You made balloons.
Right, I made balloons. But when I think of a few in my head, it's smaller than that. But
that would be a couple.
But I know that's a couple. I know. But
come on, Miss English major.
It's still just crazy. It was 3 years ago. That's the point I was trying to make. 3 years ago. That's crazy. No. We've been doing this podcast that long.
But we are excited to do that. However, also technically this week, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be the end of this week, we have a mini-sode coming out where we are going to fan cast the Marauders from Harry Potter, that era.
Because that's what we wish they'd make. HBO, yeah. I don't need the OG series again. Will I watch it? Yes. But would I rather get something else? Also, yes.
We didn't want Fantastic Beasts. We wanted Marauders.
Yes. Or give me I know I've talked about this before, but give me the origin of Hogwarts, right? Give me a show founders. Called The Founders or something. Give me the backstory in great detail of Tom Riddle. Give me Tom Riddle's childhood and his years at Hogwarts. Give me that. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Because he went to school with Hagrid. Give me young Hagrid.
Yeah. So we will be doing that next, quote unquote, this week, really.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm not making any promises. It might be that we might have just kind of skipped a week. And then this is this week's episode. The mini-sode will be out next week. And then Songbirds and Snakes will come out a week later. Because we are doing a Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes with We Ship It. And we don't want anything to feel rushed. And we want to make sure we get a good time that works in their schedule as well as ours. Because again, we get to deal across 3 time zones now.
3 time zones, and 3 of the 4 of us have kids.
Babies. Babies. Young kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, well, I guess Jimmy's like 16 months old now, but I still qualify him as a baby. So he's my baby.
He is your baby.
But there's your little update and recap on what's happening next. But
yep,
we appreciate you for listening. Please leave us a review if you haven't before. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you for listening and being here. And we hope that you have a great week.
And don't forget to read.